Well, if you've got your Bibles, you can open them. We're going to do our series, continue with our series. Thank you, Tim. About celebrating Jesus' victory leading up to Easter. We want to celebrate the fact that we follow the champion, don't we? We follow someone who has absolutely won every single round. Jesus came to conquer everything that has conquered us. Everything that defeats humanity. Sin, the devil, sickness, death. Jesus came to take it all on. And you know as well as I do that he totally conquered every single round. Very interesting, amazing that Jesus... And today, obviously, we want to look at Jesus beats sickness, which he does. And it's great that we just prayed for Catherine. We want to pray for anyone else who's sick here today. We believe that Jesus heals, don't we? I believe that God and the Holy Spirit give us health and give us long life and keep healing us and keep healing us. And that's how we want to live. We want to live in the grace of God, which affects us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. When it comes to Jesus and healing, it's just happening all the time. Jesus gets baptized with the Holy Spirit and in water, goes into the wilderness to face the devil for 40 days, comes straight out, goes to his home church of Nazareth in the synagogue where I've been. What a privilege that was. I went on a trip to the Holy Land with Ian Kirby a few years ago, and they just discovered it, actually. They build synagogues on synagogues, and they just uncovered the synagogue that Jesus actually attended. It was that era. Incredible. We went down these steps, right down, and there's in about half the size of this room, and about the height of that, the first lights there, to stand in this place was incredible. Everyone was in tears. Talk about the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. And Pete Conroy, some of you know him, read Isaiah 61. It's where Jesus unrolled the scroll and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the prisoners free, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And some people didn't like it. Some people did like it when Jesus said that. But then he went out and they did what we all do after church. They went home for Sunday dinner. And that Saturday, Jesus was going to Peter's house. And he went round to Peter's house, but there was no dinner because Mummy was sick in bed. Peter's mother-in-law had a high fever and she was in bed. And you might remember from the last time I spoke that when Jesus was in the synagogue, one of the things that happened when he was preaching was a man screamed with a demon and Jesus said, "Shut up and get out of him." And the demon left the man and he was free. Jesus does exactly the same with Peter's mother-in-law. He uses the same words. Except he's not speaking to a demon. This time he's just speaking to a fever. Interesting. Jesus sees sickness the same as he sees the devil. An enemy. An enemy. Not a cross to bear. Not something that God might be sending. No. Just as something to be conquered. Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law, took her by the hand, rebuked the fever. Same word. Rebuked the fever. He didn't speak to her, spoke to the fever. "Fever, get out of her." She stood up and made dinner. It says she served them because she was healed. Isn't it great to get healed? Margaret was going to the bank a couple of years ago. I'd just come back from Europe and I had some euros to change. I'd been doing preaching and we were going to the bank to put the euros in the bank, in our bank account. And she went in the queue and she came to the window in Halifax Bank in Linthorpe Road. And the lady there had a bandage on her hand. We knew her a little bit, this lady, because her daughter went to college with our Joe. So she said, "Hey, Margaret." And Margaret said, "Oh, what have you done to your hand?" And she said, "I think I've broken my wrist." She said, she was a single parent mum, we knew her. And she said, I was digging in the garden with a spade and I hit something really hard and I've broken my wrist before. I know what it feels like. I'm in absolute agony. She said, but I can't take any time off work. I'm going to have to go to the hospital, I think, but I don't take time off work, so I've had to come in anyway. And she was doing everything with one hand. And Margaret, there was people behind and everything, so Margaret said, we'll pray for you. You know, she didn't know we're Christians or anything, I don't think, at that point. She said, well, we'll pray for you. Me and Martin will pray for you. She said, oh, thank you, thank you. And we went out. We couldn't change the euros because you had to go to the post office to get them changed. So she went back. Or is it when you went back you said, we'll pray for you? Sorry. Would you keep me right? If I get this wrong. And this woman was green and had three heads. No! Keep me right. And then Margaret went back in the bank a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks after. Do you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Ruddick.
Shall I start again? No. No, I'll start again because I went in the bank to change these euros and I went through and she's called Diane, this lady, and she had this bandage on and I didn't actually say anything at first. I felt a bit nervous, really. And then she said, you have to go to the post office, change the euros, and then you can bring the cash and put it back in. So I went out, went to the post office, changed the euros, came back, and I was praying in the queue then. I said, Lord, if you want me to say anything, you know, to this Diane and offer to pray for her hand, then let me get back to the same counter where she is. Because I was scared, really, because I'm not like, I am scared, you know, but I just want to step out really for God. And so I was waiting in the queue and I got to her window again and I said, hi Diane. And then I said to her, you know, what have you done to your hand? And she told me she'd been digging and she said, I think I've broken my wrist because I've broken my wrist before and it's the same pain. And I just said, okay. I said, well, you know, I'll pray for you. I said, me and Martin, you know, we'll pray that God will heal your hand. So she said, thank you. Then I came out the bank and Martin was in the car. So I got in the car and I explained to Martin what happened. And we sat and prayed then, you know, we just prayed in the name of Jesus that Diane's hand would be completely healed. When she went to bed that night, this is what we prayed, you know, that when she went to bed that night, that God would heal her hand while she slept. And then when she woke up, she'd have no pain. And that it would be completely recovered. And then, well, 2 weeks later, I went back to the bank and I went through and I got to Diane's counter again and she saw me and she shouted, Margaret, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And then she said, did you pray? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah. In front of the whole queue. And she said, did you pray? I said, oh, yeah. I said, when I got in the car, me and Martin prayed that, you know, when you went to bed that night, that you would wake up and the pain and you would be completely healed. She said, that's exactly what happened. She said, I'd planned to go to the doctors the next day. She said, and I went, got into bed. You know, I was in agony, this wrist. She said, I went to sleep and the next morning when I woke up, she said, that was it. She said, all the pain was gone. She said, I took the bandage off and it's completely healed. And she was like, whoa. And I said, well, I said, that's God, you know. And that was the healing. But I mean, there's other stories, but bless her. Yeah.
Praise you, Lord. And then every time she went in the bank, this woman had different members of staff lined up for Margaret to pray for the bad backs. Something similar happened to us in Harrogate, didn't it? We were at a Bill Johnson healing conference in Harrogate, me and Margaret, and went out at lunchtime and forgot that we'd left our badges on. Did they say healing or just... They said healing conference on. We went to the bank in Harrogate and we were again at the... We've got a bank ministry. We're at the window and we were doing something. We both stood there and she said, oh, healing conference, what's that? And we said, oh, we're at this conference just across the way, loads of people are getting healed and, you know, all Christians and we believe Jesus heals today and stuff like that. And she went, and she filled up with tears, didn't she? She said, do you think they'd pray for Sheila? Sheila's found out she's got cancer. And they got Sheila and she came, left her point. There's a big queue of people, left her, and we prayed for her. There and then, another guy, this is the truth, left his thing, heard what was happening, said, hang on a minute, came down to us and said, would you pray for my back as well? My back's absolute agony in it. Hilarious. The world's desperate for healing, isn't it? Desperate to be healed. I mean, despite medicine and all the rest that we've got over here, it doesn't answer everything, does it? And the world wants some miracles if there's any out there. And Jesus' victory is our victory personally, but it's also a victory he wants us to share with the world. He wants us to get good at healing people. Anyone want to get good at healing people? Laying your hands on them and seeing them healed miraculously. It's an awesome thing. It's happened to me hundreds of times in the last 2 days.
No.
Hundreds of times over the years I've been a Christian. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's read the Bible, shall we? Mark chapter 1. Here's what Jesus did after he left the house. He got up early, went for a little prayer after he'd been in Peter's house that day. And then he was coming along, and this is what happened. Verse 40, Mark 1. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. He probably couldn't help it, poor bloke. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but had to stay outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Beautiful. What an awesome, amazing story. What it must have been like to be a leper those days. This is what happened. This is the story of this man's life and everyone's life who got leprosy those days. You'd find something on your skin, a little rash, and you'd try not to think about it because you knew the implications. You waited and prayed and hoped, but if the rash didn't go away and little white spots appeared in the rash, you had to do what the Bible said. You had to do what the law said. You had to go. They didn't have doctors those days, but they did have priests. And show yourself to the priest. It was a religious matter. And the priest had to look at it, and they'd put you somewhere for a week in a house and bring you back after a week. If in a week the hairs in the spot had turned a certain colour, then you were released. It was nothing. It was just a rash. It was a sore. It was an infection on your skin. If they hadn't, it was leprosy. Wow. If that happened, that was the end of your life. You were not allowed to go home. You were not allowed to be part of the community ever again. You weren't allowed to touch another human being. You couldn't be with your family. You couldn't be with your children. You could never touch your wife again or your husband again. You were out. That's where this man was. It was the law that whenever you travelled, you had to shout, "Unclean, unclean." Later in Europe, they used to have bells, didn't they, lepers? Used to ring a bell, ding, ding, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." No one could touch them. No one could come anywhere near them. This man came before Jesus. And no doubt Jesus had a crowd around him. But when this man came closer to him, there probably wasn't a crowd around him. The crowd backed off from the leper, but one person didn't, Jesus. And this man begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." It's an interesting sentence. He didn't doubt Jesus' power. He doubted his love. He knew he could do it, but would he do it? Isn't that like you sometimes and me? Oh, I know God heals, but me? Oh, I believe God can do anything, but in my body, in my family, for me? Oh, you don't know how unclean I am. You don't know how untouchable I am. God won't love me like that. And this man wondered about Jesus' love. He doubted it. He still had a shot, though, because Jesus was healing everyone. So he came before him, fell on his knees and said, "If you want to, you can do it. You can make me clean. You can end this life of total rejection for me." And it says Jesus didn't say anything first. He reached out his hand and touched him. Awesome. I wonder what that felt like. I wonder how many years it had been since that man had been touched. It said Jesus, moved with compassion, touched him as well. It wasn't just a physical touch. It was a touch full of love and compassion for his destroyed life and all that he'd suffered. Isn't Jesus beautiful? That's how he heals. He doesn't heal like a doctor sat writing you a prescription, not even looking up. Take this. Jesus is full of compassion. Healing is totally personal. It's for you. He reached out and touched him, filled with compassion. Amazing. At the same time, of course, Jesus contracted a Levitical uncleanness. You know, the leprosy left. Illness leaves when Jesus touches it. Demons flee, darkness flees, sickness flees. It doesn't go the other way, you know. Jesus didn't get leprosy. The man got healed. But what Jesus did get was, according to the temple, he was unclean. He touched a leper. And Jesus was keen that this man got back to his family. Have you noticed that? It wasn't enough for him to be healed. He said, listen, go and do it all properly. Go and show yourself to the priests. Get back in the society. Get back in the community. Show them. Do all the tests. Do another week in the house. Then get home, mate. That's what he was saying to him. But this man couldn't help it. He'd been healed of leprosy. Covered in sores 1 minute. Skin like a baby's bottom the next. And he's out telling everyone, look, look, look. And so would you. And what that meant for Jesus, of course, was so many people, so many crowds, Jesus couldn't go in any towns for a while. He was out. But of course, isn't that just a sign? Isn't that just a picture of Jesus? Jesus takes our sickness on himself. That's how he heals. He doesn't send it anywhere. He takes it. That's what Isaiah 53, the message about the cross, says. It says, he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. What was Jesus carrying when he lifted that cross? He was lifting our sins. He was lifting our sorrows. He was also lifting our sicknesses. Everything that defeats us was involved in Jesus' passion and death and suffering. He was lifting our sicknesses off us. Would you like your sickness lifted off you today? By Jesus. One touch from Jesus lifts it off. One wonderful, compassionate touch from Jesus. I wonder what it felt like. There was a guy in the Civil War in America, a young man who was very seriously wounded. And D.L. Moody tells the story of his mother hearing about his wounds and finding a way to the front line, to the hospital camp, to find a son. And the mother eventually finds out which hospital tent he's in and finds it, and the doctor says, listen, he's hovering between life and death. It's just a tiny line between here and eternity. Nothing can disturb him. She said, can I see him? And eventually, after begging him, he said, you can see him. You cannot speak to him. You cannot touch him. But I'll let you see him. Any shock could kill him. So she said, okay. But, you know, she was a mother. She was bound to be disobedient to that, wasn't she? She couldn't help it. She went and sat and looked at a son, a beautiful son, all wounded and shot up. And when the doctor left, she couldn't resist reaching out her mother's hand and touching his forehead. I wonder what was in that touch. Well, all the love of a mother, wasn't it? All her compassion and love. That's how Jesus touched his leper. Filled with compassion and love, she touched that young man, and he hadn't opened his eyes for days. But as soon as she touched him, he opened his eyes and said, Mother, I knew you would come. How did he know it was his mother? It's in the touch. Full of love, compassion. She'd have got hold of him if she was allowed, but she wasn't allowed. But in that touch was everything. In the touch of Jesus Christ, there's everything you need. The compassion and love of God fills you. That's what heals you. It's totally personal. When we were in Estonia, I think the last time with Stuart, doing a gospel meeting in the church that meets under the cinema, you know, the Pentecostal church, where it was like a youthy church thing. Really cool and trendy, a bit like this place. And all lights and drums, and just like us. And we said, you know, that we preached the gospel and said, look, God wants to demonstrate his power. Is there anybody here who's sick? And this girl, non-Christians are very free, aren't they? They don't have any religious baggage that sometimes we have. They don't care, they're just straight up for it. We said, is anyone here sick? This girl puts her hand up and walks straight to the front of the little platform thing like that. And we said, well, what's wrong with you? She said, I've got pain in my shoulder. How long have you had it? 6 months. And does it, what does it mean? And she couldn't lift her arm beyond here. And so we said, right, in the name of Jesus, this was seconds, in the name of Jesus, we command this pain to go now, be healed. Right, lift your arm. And she lifted her arm and burst out into sobbing and sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. It's an emotional thing to be healed. I'm sure she wasn't crying because of the pain being lifted off her. I don't think it was that painful. I think why she was crying was, in that touch from God, it says so much. It says God's real. It says you matter. It says I love you. That's what healing says. It says I love the world, but I love you. That's what happens when you get healed. It's an emotional thing, an emotional thing. We were doing a gospel service in Darlington, and there was this girl who was a heroin addict, walked past the church one day, absolutely desperate, desperate. The church door was open, it was the middle of the week, went in, the minister happened to be there, and he prayed for her, and she actually had some deliverance and some freedom from heroin, and began to get on her feet a little bit and got her in contact with people. Because of that, her family had started coming to church. There'd been about two or three Sundays on a morning, quite a traditional church, a Baptist church. She'd also invited them that night when we were there. We preached on the cross, and then said, if anyone's sick, come forward. This lady, the mother of this girl, came forward on sticks. And I said, if you sit, and she sat on the front row, actually. Other people were studs, about 30 people. I said, if you're sick, you stand up and the ministry team will come and pray for you. But she wasn't going to stand up, you know. I could see she was in agony. So I went to her first, as soon as we finished the meeting, for prayer, you know. And I said, do you want to stand up, love, and I'll pray for you? And she said, not really. I said, are you in a lot of pain? She said, yeah. I said, what is it? She said, arthritis. I said, where is it? She said, in my back, in my hands, everywhere, but everywhere. I said, okay, then you sit there. And I prayed for her, put my hand on her. When we put our hands on people to pray for them, we believe that it's Jesus who's touching people through us. Do you believe that? Jesus often touched people and healed them. The apostles often laid their hands upon them because they were full of God and they believed God flowed into people as they touched them and healed them. I put my hand on her head and I actually, in my mind, I saw this like little plant and I imagined myself grabbing hold of it and pulling it off her. I said, what was it called again, the disease? Thank you. I said, arthritis, in the name of Jesus, get off her. And I put my hand back on her head. And then I noticed that her head had changed angle. She had her eyes open. And I said, is the pain gone? She said, yeah. I said, where from? Your hands. She went, from everywhere. And she stood up and just started walking up and down. And then again, same thing, burst out in tears. Her husband and son ran forward. We didn't know exactly how bad she was or what it was. Stuart was trying to interview them, didn't stand a chance. This family were just crying and falling into each other's arms and buzzing, and the sticks were still there. And in the end, we got a bit of info from them, like, you know, how long have you had it? Since 1992. That's a long time to be ill. We said, what would you be doing now? Normally I'd be lying in the settee in agony. I'm in agony every day, agony every day. And you've got no pain. Got no pain. She was running about and she couldn't believe it. And then they went. And we got a big email from them later. A husband saying, I've got my wife back. We're going dancing. We're walking on the hills. It's the compassion of Jesus, isn't it? It's the love of Jesus. He wants to heal people and give them their life back. And again, a massive emotional response because it's love. It's his touch, it's his compassion that actually heals people. He carries it away himself, takes the weight of sickness. Then there's his word. He said, I am willing. Jesus, will you heal me? Yeah. Yes. If you ask God, you get yeses, you know. If you pray, you do get yeses off God. If you ask, the answer's almost always yes. Why wouldn't he? Brothers and sisters, when you're ill, when your kids are ill, when your family's ill, you go to Jesus. First port of call. then the medical world. We respect and thank God for the medical world, but it's not our first part of call. It shouldn't be. It needn't be. We go to God first, and then any medicine that we take is always under God, under God, under God. We trust God, look to God, expect from God. God will use it, and he'll use beyond it. We look to the Lord, who says, I am the Lord, your healer. And Jesus heals us with his word, because he just says, yes. Here's some tips for staying healed. And incidentally, here's some interesting. Everyone who asked Jesus, he healed. Everyone who came to him was healed. Everyone who looked to him was healed. I'll just say that again. Everyone. Everyone who asked him was healed. Interesting. What's the keys to being healed? Well, here's a couple. One is, let your world view be changed by Jesus. In other words, let your view of the world be Jesus' view of the world. Let his word shape you so that you believe what is written in his word. What is the key to health and long life? We all want it, don't we? All like a long life, and we'd like to live it as healthy as we can. Ultimately, the key to that is to do with our relationship with God. And there's other factors, but it's not ultimately the gym and slimming world. It isn't. And I know that's our world view without God, but it is a world view without God. It is. If you think that healthy eating and going to the gym and looking after yourself physically is going to mean that you have a long life, let me tell you something. There's something not quite right with your worldview. Let me tell you what the Bible says. David said, and David was an interesting man. David was a young man who was hunted. He was wanted on every wanted poster in Israel. He expected to die young, but didn't. He died an old man. And when he was hunted and hiding and in a cave, when he was very down, he said this in the Psalms, I take my life in my hands every day. But did he? Was David's life in his own hands? No, it wasn't. That was just David depressed. When David was thinking more clearly, he wrote this. Every one of my days was written in your book before one of them began. That's the truth. Every one of my days was written in your book before one of them began. Let me assure you, if God calls you home, you can be incredibly fit. You can be at the peak of your fitness. You will go to him. You will. And let me tell you something else, and you might have noticed this. Because haven't you noticed some people that eat bacon butties every day, smoke like troopers, drink like fish, and live to 90? Yes, so have I. What's that about? It's this. Before one of your days came into being, they were written in God's book. God decides when Catherine goes to heaven, and when I do, and when you do. Your life is not in your hands. It's in God's. Now, do you know what? There's nothing wrong with going to the gym. I went myself once. I'm not against going to the gym. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But, you know, hey, die fitter. That's great. Die slimmer. Die fitter. But you will die one day. When God calls you home, you can be as fit as you want. You will go. Now, can that date be altered? Yeah. Do you know what? It can. But it doesn't come through slimming world. It comes through God. You can get a long life, but you have to go to God for it. Hezekiah, the king, was going to die. And because he was the king, God sent Isaiah to him to tell him. He said to him, just to let you know, I mean, it's not very nice news, but it's sort of helpful in one sense. Just to let you know, God says you're not going to recover from this illness. You are going to die, so get your house in order. You're the king, sort out the nation. Hezekiah didn't like that. He started to cry. And he started to weep, and he turned to the wall and said, God, I've always served you. I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. God said, all right, another 15 years then. And Isaiah, you can read this in the book of Isaiah, was walking across the courtyard on the way out of the palace. And the Lord said to him, Isaiah, yeah, stop. Go back. I've given another 15 years. Okay then. He went back. He said, the Lord's heard you. He's still crying. And Lord, I've always served you. Hezekiah, what?
It's me again. What?
God's heard you. Huh? He's given you another 15 years. Oh, thanks. You can get another 15 years.
Maybe get longer.
But you get it from the one who decides. The one who decides. Do you want to live a healthy life? Have God's worldview. The healthiest thing you can ever do in your life is walk with God. I'm telling you. That's the truth. Communion, I think, is a key to health. I think taking communion regularly was something the early church did, like spiritual medicine. I want Jesus' life in me, don't you? Jesus' life in me. And when we take communion, it's not a religious thing we do. It's a spiritual, powerful thing. You're receiving the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus by faith. You're having his life overwhelm your life. Do it in faith. Do it with expectancy. Get healed as you take communion. You can. I mean, if you're ill, take communion 3 times a day like you would medicine. There's no limit to it. We should honour God at least as much as we do anything medical. There's no limit to how often you take communion. The early church broke bread every day in their homes. We do it at least every week. But you can break bread in your homes. Break bread, remember Jesus, take communion. It's interesting about communion. Paul said to the Corinthian church, some of you aren't discerning the body and blood of the Lord, and because you're not, that's why some of you are ill. Fascinating. Some of you are ill, he says, and some of you have fallen asleep early. You died early. Eh? Why? Because you're not discerning the body and blood of the Lord. Fascinating. He links communion with health. So understand what's happening. Understand what's happening. You know, sometimes that's been said as sort of like, you know, if you have sin in your life, don't take communion. Well, who here would take communion? Yeah. Jesus came for sinners. We take communion because we need the blood of Jesus. We need grace. We need love. We need undeserved love and kindness and forgiveness. If you sin it, don't not have communion. Go and take communion and repent. Change, be healed, be blessed. But discern what it is. It's not nothing. It's something awesome. I think communion's a key. Daily prayer's a key as well. I'm going to finish in a minute. Daily prayer's a key. I think, you know, over our life, you know, obviously it's best to use yourself as an illustration when you're talking this stuff, otherwise it doesn't sort of stick. But I think over our life, we haven't had a lot of illness. I've never been in hospital once for malaria, and that's probably in the wrong place at the wrong time. But, you know, and it's quite a long time. We don't do it very much. And I don't think I'm a picture of health. I don't. But I do think I'm blessed. And I think God has kept us from illness through daily prayer. I honestly do. And I'm not talking about praying for hours. When we're in the car, going to school with the kids, we pray for protection. Lord, please protect us today from sin and Satan and sickness, from all the rubbish of this world, and keep our lives for your own purpose. We pray that every day for the kids. They pray it with us. Lord, please protect us. Do I think God hears those prayers? I do. I really think he does. Before we go to bed, Margaret prays for the kids. Lord, we pray you give us a sound mind, physical well-being, and a long life. Does God hear those prayers? You know what? He hears prayers. You want health? Pray. Pray. I think Jesus carried our sicknesses. I think they can be kept off us. I've only had 2 physical illnesses in the last 30 years, and I've been healed of them both. One was a lung condition that I contracted, and I think I got it through being under legalistic leadership in a church. Just being honest with you, I did. I came under heavy leadership in a church, and it wasn't good for me. And you know, psychologically, spiritually, physically, we're connected, aren't we? And I became ill. I got this cough that would not go away. Some of you have known me for a lot of years, know how much it dogged me. It ruined my preaching. I couldn't preach for coughing. If you listen to tapes of me preaching those days, it's ridiculous. I can't get through a preach for coughing. I'd get this cough and it would last for 6 months. And then one day God told me to go to Scotland on a little prayer thing. I went, and on the way out, just going home, the woman who was looking after, did the bed and breakfast, they were beautiful Christians, she said, I'd like to pray for your cough. I've heard you coughing all night. Kneel down. And when a Scottish woman tells you to kneel down, you kneel down. Don't you, Avril, where are you? Anyway, and I knelt down in their conservatory, and she prayed for me. And I've never coughed since. Never. And no, I've never had that cough since. You know, I've had little coughs. Nothing. That's gone. That was healed. The other thing, key, is forgiveness. Having a soft heart and forgiving people. We were talking about this on Route 61 on Wednesday night. But forgiveness is a key to physical health. It is. And the other time I got healed was through forgiving. I had an ear that ached, that would always get cold and would always ache. And I used to wear a scarf all the time and hats for bed. Oh yes, Margaret loved it. Top hats. And when I used to go to Estonia and other nations, I used to wrap up with this ear all the time. And sometimes the guys would see me sat in the front of meetings with my hand over my ear because I'd just be aching all the time. Warming my ear up all the time before I got up to preach. And it was interesting. I was at a conference and they said, who wants to be healed? And I thought, oh, I'll try and get my ear healed. So I stood up in a line of people around the room. Thought, I'm always praying for people. They said, you can pray for people to be healed or you can get healed. I thought, I'll try and get healed. I went and stood up and had my little ear. My ear was aching that day. I was in Sheffield in Andy Stone's church. And this couple came up to me and said, oh, what's your problem? I said, I've got an aching ear. They said, when did it begin? And I thought, when did it begin? I thought, I've never even thought of that before. I thought, actually, it began when I went to Uganda on that trip where I got malaria. I'd had a tooth taken out the day before I went to Uganda that got infected. And then I wondered whether it was connected. But it was like the Holy Spirit showed me. I'd never connected them in my mind. And I thought, yeah, do you know, I think it began on this trip to Uganda. They said, tell us about the trip. And I told them, you know, got malaria, went for someone else, bad tooth, bit of a rough time, ended up in hospital for the first time in my life, came back, was pretty ill. And it began with a bit of dentistry and stuff. And they said, have you forgiven everyone around that trip? I said, no, I've never even thought of it. They said, well, why don't you do that now? Okay then, let's forgive the dentist. And Lord, I forgave the dentist. And actually, I didn't think the dentist was really to blame. Oh, I forgot to tell you this bit, sorry. When the dentist took my tooth out, I thought I'd speed up the healing, right? Because I was going to Uganda the next day. So I poured salt on the wound. And obviously, that's a really stupid thing to do. And it burned through the wound, you know, right down to my... Anyway, not very nice, but... And it ended up like an open socket, they call it. So it was really bad and they had to redo it, emergency, before I got on the plane. So actually, and then I forgave a couple of other people on the trip who sort of dragged me out of hospital to get me back home because they wanted to get their plane home and I would have done the same. But actually it wasn't that. And they said to me, have you forgiven yourself for doing that stupid thing with the salt? And I said, no, I haven't. So why don't you forgive yourself? And here's the truth. As I forgave myself, healed straight away. Forgiveness is powerful. Lord, I forgive myself for doing that stupid thing with the salt. Healed. Never had it since that. These are some keys to healing. And guys, time's gone, but let me just tell you these two things. Through Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Through his death on the cross, it's his mercy and forgiveness. And ultimately, through his resurrection, here's ultimate healing. It's called getting a new body. Would anyone like a new body? Anyone over 21? Come on, admit it. You like a new body from the Lord. You're going to get one in the resurrection from the dead. When Jesus comes back, we're all coming back and we're going to have new bodies. And in those new bodies, guess what? There's no death. There's no sickness. There's no pain. Until then, we're always fighting it. And one day we'll die of something. And it doesn't mean we've failed. It just means we're human and we're going to be with the Lord. But until then, we get healed all the way till the day God calls us home. Amen.